Hello, everybody. It's old Shaziz here. Sorry about that. My doggone computer just up and restarted itself, crashed out on me. I'm going to throw a quick tune on here and try to get Muddy and them back, and we'll take it from there. Doggone it.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
All right, everybody, we're back. Sorry about that computer crash. I don't know if we had like a little blink in the power or what, but whatever happened, happened, and we're back. And so one of these days, I'm going to get everything situated so I got a backup computer. We'll just jump right on over there, and we won't even miss a lick. It really gets on my nerves, man. Anyway, we were talking about Stirling engines right before we got the crash going on there. You want to take up where we left off, Steve?
Well, I was just thinking out loud more than anything else. What can we do to create energy with stuff we can get off the shelf?
Well, and that's
what we can do.
That's what I like about the Stirling engine and the steam engine and solar panels and wind generators. See, these are already proven technologies. And people say, well, that's not free energy because you got to buy the stuff. Well, heck, you got to buy whatever it is you're going to be using to tap into energy anyway. So, you know, why not use something for the moment, what already you already know works without a doubt before, like I say, the holy grail of electricity shows up on our door. What do you think?
I think that we got to keep trying and keep pushing for it.
Well, I'm definitely doing a lot of research in my lab, and I'm looking forward to getting this virtual labs up and running so that we can work side by side with other people out there. And I was telling Muddy earlier, you know, kind of went the long way around it to talk about it, but, you know, there's a lot of different effects, like the, you know, the lens effect whenever you're sliding a magnet down a copper tube, you know, and how it seems like it's got an anti-gravity kind of thing going on there, because you can see, if you look down the tube, you can see that the magnet's not actually touching the wall of the pipe. And so, you know, with that said, all these free energy devices have a common denominator. They all have an anomaly that could be capitalized on. And so taking all those into effect, and like bismuth having the capability of not necessarily blocking the entire magnetic field but repelling it to some extent, and materials such as tungsten that are non-magnetic but are really strong, if you redesign a whole lot of the off-the-shelf stuff and like take out the main shaft inside the armature inside of an electric generator and replace it with a tungsten armature so that you're not getting a drag from that metal that's actually, you know, connected to the bearings. Because if you think about it, when you put a strong magnetic field on that shaft, it's going to slow down bearings down to some extent. And so every little detail that you can actually get away from, like the cogging effect and so on and so forth, you can actually make a generator where all the magnets are on the positive or all the magnets are on negative, and it will still function, not as good as having them alternated from positive to negative, but you will still get energy out of it. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. The bismuth, the cool thing about bismuth, it doesn't really block the magnetism. It polarizes it all in one plane. So it collects it. And the same thing with heat. It takes the heat from all over, it absorbs it, and it throws it all out in one flat, two-dimensional circle. It sets it out. It comes in one end, and it'll come all the way straight out the other end with no losses, and you can't tap it anywhere in between. So it's a great conduit to guide your magnetism.
Yeah,
that's an awesome.
And that's why I say, if we take everything that we already know functions, and like, let's say the Stirling engine, for example. I've heard a lot of people complain about the Stirling engine, how you can't get enough torque out of that because of this or because of that. If you're going to be pushing a generator head with it, and you make that generator head more efficient to where it doesn't have to work as hard, then the Stirling engine would be more efficient as well. And there's other ways to essentially modify the Stirling engine. Heck, buddy, you made Stirling engines out of coffee cans, for Pete's sake. And so that's
soup cans.
Yeah. That's a simple idea on how to actually make a working engine that uses heat expansion and contraction to, you know, turn a shaft, which could turn a generator head. I've got a Stirling engine that I bought on eBay. It's just a little toy, but it actually has a built-in generator to it, and when it gets up to speed, it generates just fine. So, you know, these are things that I think the alternative energy community should be working towards, improving on old technologies that are already proven, while at the same time working on the new technologies to come. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, the thing is about the Stirling engine, Stirling motor. The thing about the Stirling motor being an external heat engine, and you can, instead of having an intake and an exhaust, you can have a Stirling engine that is hermetically or hermaphically sealed, or whatever you want to call it. That means none of the air goes in, no air goes, no air leaves it, and it all could be the same. But if you take and you look, I know you've seen those charts that show the efficiency in each phase of it, where it heats up, and then you get mechanical energy, and then it cools down, then you get more mechanical energy, then it goes back up. So it kind of looks like a square, and it's been skewed with some curved lines for the top and bottom. And the deal about that, see, that's dealing with a certain amount of air. But if you change that air to helium, which is non-combustible, it's pretty safe to sit there and put a lot more to it. Plus, it expands and contracts a lot more. But you can go one step farther and really make this thing... So you're looking at one atmosphere of pressure inside your Stirling engine. Now, if you pump that up to 100 atmosphere, you're going to get 100 times the power. And if it's hermetically sealed, then you're not losing any of it. And you'll get quite a bit more on the backside than you will on the pressure side. Although, I mean, you're looking at pressure on both of them. It's just one's less pressure, where it would normally have a vacuum if you only had one atmosphere. But you elevate that whole thing up, and I mean, and it really expands on the mechanical energy coming out. And these are the most efficient energy efficient motors in the world. Now the reason why they used steam before is because they didn't know about compressing the air, but they were still more efficient than the steam engines. But people want more power. Everybody wants more power. But in order to get the power out of a Stirling engine, you need to be able to take the heat back away as fast as you put it in. So you can put too much to it, and you're really not getting much out of it. Putting the cold side in some water, or and having a water jacket through there really increases it as well. So if you're using pressurized helium and extracting the heat, that means you can put more heat into it. If you're looking at like a petrol engine, or a gas engine, depending on where you're from,
If you clog the tailpipe, then you can't get air into the carburetor. If you clog up the carburetor, you ain't gonna get nothing out the other side. The Stirling engine works that way, but it works with in the same respect with the heat, the differential in heat, and the difference in the heat and the cold side, the difference in temperature, is actually what your power is working on. Your expansion and contraction of the liquid, or shall I say, the gaseous gas inside it.
Well, that's prime example, though, of what you just talked about there of, you know, taking old technology and modifying it using things that we already know work. And so, you know, with that said, you know, in the Stirling engine, as you're heating it up, there's waste energy that would be going around, you know, whatever chamber box you'd be using to heat. So why not throw a little thermoelectric in there as well?
Yeah, you could do that, and also use that, take it straight off the heat sink through your what do you call it, your Peltier device, and off the other side, have that go to the water, and at the same time as the water's extracting the heat, guess what? You're creating hot water. And if you're dealing with enough heat, heck, you can take the output of that and go ahead and put it in a steam engine. Not a pop prop boat, but you know, but you can put it into a steam engine and get and use that waste energy.
Well,
but the cool thing about a Stirling engine is you can run it off a candle. You're not going to really get much off you're not going to get much power off a steam engine. Not near as much as you're going to get off the off a Stirling engine for the power input.
They actually have little Stirling engines that run off the heat off your hand or the heat off of a coffee cup. So, you know, that's one of those things that I was talking about, one of those anomalies that
goes on. Low temperature differential.
Yeah.
LTD Stirling engines. Yeah, those are all.
And so with that said,
to take one. Yeah, go ahead.
So with that said, I'm thinking, you know, 2014 should be a year not only of new innovations, but it should be a year of basically upgrading old technology, because there's just a ton of old technology out there. Every time I turn around, I'm finding something new that I didn't know before, you know. I took, yesterday I was outside running some experiments because we had a little bit of a sun going out there. And I took one of those bulb starters, the fluorescent bulb starters that I've been using in some of my experiments. They're argon gas-filled deals that have a little condenser on there. Then I took it out there.
Plasma emitter, yeah.
Yeah, I took it out there and I held it in the sun because, you know, well, the sun's putting off energy. They're putting off little photons and stuff like that. So you can imagine the energy that would be bombarding the argon gas inside of it. And so what I was able to do, I was able to get probably about 30, at least 30 millivolts at the very least. You know, and I hooked it up to a capacitor, and I actually got it up to charge that capacitor up a little bit higher. But that was just holding a little argon-filled glass tube towards the sun. So I'm not positive, without doing more experiments with it, whether it was the energy that was hitting the element inside of it, or whether it was the photons from the sun, you know, the energy from the sun basically bashing into the argon gas molecules inside there. But whatever the case is, it actually did produce electricity in the millivolt range. So
did you try just the starter by?
Yeah, I did. I did, and it actually did better without the condenser on it. And when I put a capacitor to it, it actually charged the capacitor, and it held the charge as I was walking back into my lab.
Sweet.
And so, you know, there's a lot of potentials there for new designs, and I'm still going to go the route of looking into my plasma research, because I firmly believe that plasma is going to be the what some people would call the holy grail of electricity. You know, plasma and magnetism. Because if you actually think about plasma and magnetism in the microwave sense, that's how you get microwaves built up inside. There's actually a vacuum chamber inside the the magnetron. And so there's a little element inside there, a little tungsten element, just like in a light bulb. And whenever you put your 2,000 volts from your microwave oven transformer to it, it heats up that element, which then in turn releases electrons on one side of a magnet, which gets them spinning inside there. And then, you know, they get trapped and leaving tinier little holes in a disc, and the magnet on the opposite side drags them through to the other side, and you get a really short, fast wave called a microwave. And so, using those theories is why I'm still a firm believer in the plasma portion of the deal. You know, there's a guy out there that does a video called Energy from a Vacuum, and I got Hidden Electrodynamics is one of the CDs that I've got right there. But, you know, the Searle generator, they talk about, you know, they're not destroying any energy and they're not creating any energy. They're just tapping into energy. But once again, I just don't see what's happening inside that deal. I'd love to see one of these firsthand and be able to ask about a million questions. What do you think?
Well, it brings a lot more questions to mind as you look at it. There's just it's such a wide. It's not just that simple. It's so wide. I don't know. It boggles the mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I don't know about the mixing with the argon. I know you can collect energy. You can't get rid of energy. You can collect it. You can transform it from one energy form to another, such as, you know, electrical to mechanical to magnetic or thermal, and you emit photons as well for making light, and all of this is all just a different frequency.
Well, I'm able to, in my lab, and it's in a lot of my videos, where you can see that I've got a little fluorescent bulb starter, argon gas filled bulb starter, hanging from an aluminum pyramid on the ceiling. And you can actually see, as I got those coils going, there's wireless energy transfer. And in that wireless energy transfer, you actually get a plasma buildup that you can physically see with your two eyes. I mean, it's literally wirelessly energizing that argon. And so I know there's something to it.
Yeah, for what I've seen, it kind of keeps on building up till you're almost in trouble.
Yeah. So, you know, with that said, my 2014 year is going to be dedicated to trying to improve on old technology with the off the store shelves, because I'm trying to do something in my lab using junk that needs to be done in a lab using, you know, good milling equipment, 3D printers or whatever. You know, it needs to be precise. Like my plasma reactor, I'm having a hell of a time with this dang thing because, you know, I had leaks on it, and so I encased it in resin, and then the cold spell came through because my lab's not heated 24/7, and the doggone thing cracked in about 10 different places. And so, you know, I'm back to square one. I've got a totally unsafe piece of junk sitting there really ticking me off. But before, you know, the thing totally collapsed on me, I had some really good effects going on with that thing that I knew I was on the right track. And so now, after watching a few other videos that Russ had done and his research in the SEG, he's also working on, you know, kind of, I can't remember what that doggone thing is. It has to do with hydrogen. But essentially he's sending hydrogen through a magnetic field, and you just have to go watch the video. But with this thing in the shape that it's in, I'm going to have to remodify it. But in that sense, I think the next one's going to be even better because of I've made some changes to the actual design itself.
So yeah, I like the older technologies. I mean, let's look back into the days of the pyramid. I mean, they had a big old light bulb and they drew that sucker. Looked like old snake filament, and they generated the electricity through dissimilar metals and water batteries. adding a few little chemicals like lemon juice or whatever to it. I don't know what they did. They didn't go into all of that. But that's real old technology. Water batteries. If you go to these older hospitals, you'll find out in the back of the storage room, they've got water batteries. That's for emergencies. The power goes out and they still need light to keep on doing what they're doing at night. They just pour water in these things and hook up to them, and they got their own little low voltage lights and everything for them. A lot of the hospitals give them to you if you just go up there and ask them for them. But they might have to wait while they go through their old storage and find them. But that's the older hospitals. The other thing is the 400 AD. The Stirling principle was actually used to open the gates to the temple in Rome. They had a box out there where they lit this like this little sacrificial fire, and it heated up the air in there, which went down to a water container, and it as the air expanded, it pushed the water out of the container into another reservoir that was hanging on a rope. And that rope was wrapped around these pulleys on these beams that opened the gate. It took several guards to open these gates. So when the fire went out, these gates started closing. It took several soldiers to push these gates open enough to let people out. So, yeah.
Well, it's funny you talked about.
They're actually pretty powerful.
It's funny you're talking about that, because I was thinking a while back, I seen a couple different videos that had to do with heating up water and getting the water to rise up. I got a few ideas that I'd like to tinker around with, you know, like building a fire pit with a steel pipe in the center of it, with a water bucket in the bottom of the deal, you know, basically something to hold the water in the bottom, heat that water up, have it go up, fill up one side, while that weight of that water would raise something else, and then dump the water, refill it back up. You know, these are just things that came from ideas that I seen from the putt-putt or the pop-pop boat contest.
Yeah, you also got, well, there's two things on the mind here right now. There's a Stirling engine that most people don't even realize and haven't seen much of, which I think has a very great potential. It's called a rotocola sola, and it uses the weight of water. If you look at a wagon wheel, and let's just say we made that the wagon wheel, we took off the outside rim, which really didn't even unless you want to keep it for the stability. But if you put a thin-walled aluminum pipe of a decent diameter down each of them spokes, and you shaded one side of it, the side that the sun hit, the air would expand. Well, inside these containers, they have balloons that have water in them, half filled, and a tube that goes all the way around. On the sunny side, that side expands and pushes the water out, and on the shaded side, it gets a vacuum and sucks that water into that side. So that side of the wheel gets heavy. Now, it's a very low RPM, anywhere from 3 to 7 RPM, but it's got torque, Bubba. And if you just keep letting that thing turn and you go ahead and use a small gear on the inside, man, you can lift up quite a bit of weight. And I'm thinking, you know, if I built one that was about 6 foot in diameter and probably had something like about 2 cups of water to transfer off each of the cylinders over to the other side and just kept letting that thing turn, I think with the gear ratio, you could probably do a nice demonstration jacking a car up with a hoist.
Well,
I think that'd be awesome to show.
What about a water pump, Muddy?
Yeah. I'm sorry, say again?
What about a water pump?
Yeah, you could do it with a water pump. Go ahead
make it into a water pump.
I'm sorry?
Use that device to actually pump water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll pump water. I was also sitting there thinking of making one probably about 4 foot in diameter, and just having one of the simple water pumps rigged up, you know, one of those simple ones where when it lifts the piston, the marble comes off the seal and then drops back down. On its way down, the water goes to the top of that piston through a hole in the middle with another marble seal on top. And each time it goes up, it lifts the water higher and higher and higher until it gets up to your cistern on the roof. And you put that on the roof because you want 45 pounds of pressure. And the roof will do 45 pounds of pressure, no problem. So, I mean, all it is, just put your water down there in the bottom and let the sun pump it all the way up to the top. And it's a pretty efficient, according to how high you have it, would would determine the gear ratio that you need and how much water you could pump per revolution. It's pretty awesome. I think that's great. And the other thing that was on my mind, we were talking about steam, and it takes so many BTU to turn so many ounces of water into steam per minute. But Boomer, Dr. Raymond By Gosh Head over there in Louisville, Texas, he's working on cold steam. He's saying, well, why do you need to heat the water up to a certain temperature first and then try to go through the BTUs that make it turn into steam? When you could go ahead and just put a vacuum on it. I forget how many millibars of vacuum that you put on it, but you can get the water to boil at 65 degrees. So if you got the sun hitting one spot of it and generating the steam to turn a turbine, as it leaves, it goes off into the ambient air temperature section of it, or the cooling section, and the steam will condense and come back in. You can keep on recycling the same water all day long. You don't have to worry about cooling because basically you're not really dealing with that much heat.
While we're on the subject of water, are you familiar with the high-voltage electrostatic motors?
Yeah, those are pretty neat. You can run one off your bug zapper or run it off the TV screen.
Well, pretty cool. Recently, I watched a video where a guy was, he was actually trying to make one that they call, doggone it, it's got fins instead of plates on it, and the one with the fins seemed to work a little bit better. But he was trying to get more torque out of it, more speed, and so he took a deal that had some water. He took a glass that had some water in it, and he was trying to get this thing kind of float in the water as the water being the bearing, and seeing if he could get it to spin a little bit better. And it didn't work out the way he planned, but he noticed that once he got this thing going, the water itself, because of the electrostatic charge, water being a dipole molecule, when you're hitting it with the charge, acted just like it would if it was just the aluminum plates or the aluminum fins. And so he was able to get the water to spin using high voltage. Now, I see potential there, because if you can get the water to spin, you could build like the equivalence of a hydraulic clutch. The clutch wouldn't engage until the water got up to a certain RPMs. But he didn't leave it running very long because it only had a short video that he was showing it on. But he actually had the water, the glass of water that was sitting on a bearing, spinning because of the electrostatic charge that was going through that water.
Yeah, it tells you that the water's diamagnetic, and the electricity running through the water probably making a magnetic field, which, magnetic fields aren't straight, direct, straight across like a lot of people think. They actually go in a, not a vortice, but, it's kind of like taking a wire and wrapping it around a piece of conduit or something, and then stretching it out. So it goes at an angle, and it goes around the pipe, so not exactly in a straight line like most people would think. So yeah, you get vortices, and you get all sorts of reactions with water.
Well, you can imagine.
The other thing on my mind about this is I think you'd probably have a little bit better luck playing with the Lord Kelvin's generator to generate his static electricity.
Well, yeah.
Because basically it puts the charge in the water.
And you can build the capacitors really super simple that would be, really powerful capacitors. So, if he's getting this effect, let's say at 60,000 volts, and he puts a one massive capacitor system in there that every time that thing fires, it's hitting some serious voltage, and you could get that water up to spinning. It's really super simple to make high voltage, and you're not necessarily putting it under a load like you would be as if you were running your average generator. The load wouldn't come into effect until the water the centrifugal force of the water actually started spinning some blades that would actually turn the clutch. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, if he made it wide enough, and he took, if he made it wide enough, he'd have a lot of leverage, which would actually generate some torque.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you're going to get much speed out of it, because you know how the viscous...
Well, the...
thing, and you're talking about lamina flow. The outside, where it's near a surface, doesn't want to flow because it has friction, but the next layer moves a little faster. Then the next layer in moves faster than that.
I think, though, that if it was done right, you could actually get a little bit of speed out of it, but the main thing is the torque, because the weight of that water would actually give you power, you know, to turn, you know, gears and such.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Build it in a nice, good-sized diameter where you're still dealing with a little loss on the outside, but due to the viscosity or the lamina flow, and make your wheel a little smaller on the inside with your fins to catch it. I think you'd do all right there.
Anyway, that's a project that I would like to try to undertake here in 2014, because I think that I see some potential there. I got a whole lot of projects that I want to do, but, you know, it's easy, like I said, to make high voltage. I mean, you can get high voltage a whole lot easier than you can get a high current. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you get high by petting your cat or walking across the carpet sometimes and it's touching the doorknob and zapping you, or kissing your girlfriend and making her caterpillars flex.
But that to me could very well be where the holy grail of electricity comes about, is by being able to get real working real work out of just volts alone, and I know it's possible. I've done this on a smaller scale. Used high voltage to actually turn an electric motor, and of course it wasn't moving like super fast, but the key was that it was moving. And so,
yeah.
With that said, I know there's work potential in high voltage, and so if you can get past the current portion of it, if you can get a water clutch design that runs off of electrostatic. You know, you build you a giant Wimhurst out there, and, you know, the windmill spinning that water will literally create enough torque to turn a gear that would turn a generator, flywheel, or whatever. So by taking all these things that we've talked about throughout the entire duration of the show, all the different materials such as bismuth and tungsten and all that, and combining all these things in together, everything that we've learned from the Searle engine, from the Bedini motor, everything we've learned from Tesla, everything we've learned from guys like Keshi and all the different alternative energy researchers out there, you know, there's guys out there like Russ from RWG Research that he does really fine, meticulous work, and every one of his projects, they look good. You know, they're made well, and so I'm impressed with his work. Now, if we could get guys like him and you and myself together via virtual labs or whatever, and start working on these, you know, sit down and have a have a session like the very first on the grand opening of virtual labs, have a session to where we sit down and we talk about all these different alternative energy things out there, and we mark down, because with every single one of them there are plausibilities, there are anomalies that happen with every single one of these alternative energy deals that could be capitalized on if we put these things all together. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, it ain't about the capitalistic part of it.
That's,
unless
well,
to
maybe
make
that's
some money to help your
no,
research.
Maybe,
no, that's a cool thing.
Maybe
that, I think,
hey, Muddy, Muddy, Muddy.
I think here's something that I think you ought to really look into.
Muddy,
a high voltage, or shall I say, a static motor.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I don't mean capitalize on as far as financial-wise. I'm talking about, you know, being able to benefit from these by taking all these things and running them in conjunction. It's the same reason why I keep telling everybody, you know, if you live in a windy area, you got solar power. If you live in a sunny area, you got wind power, solar power, so on and so forth. You got motion coming down your drain spouts every time it rains outside. You got things like piezoelectrics, earth batteries, chemical batteries, and if you live near the sea, you got plenty of salt water for salt water batteries. So instead of putting all your eggs in one basket and just using nothing but solar, combine all these things together. The same thing can be said with all these alternative energy devices. Each one of them have some portions in there that, if with used with others, you know, like waste energy off the pop boat, the little thermoelectrics, lighting up a light or something like that. That's the point I was trying to get by the term capitalize.
Right. I understand what you're saying. That's what I was saying. It's not as much on that, but the thing is, if say you take an electrostatic alarm, you know, made out of the two Coke cans and the little pull tab. Now, you could take an antenna and put that outside and the other to ground, and, you know, just probably about 2 or 3 seconds before the lightning hits you, this thing will start ringing and sounding like a regular alarm clock, and it gives you time to go ahead and unplug your stuff and save your computer. Now, that, to me, that's worth a lot.
Well,
that's a really neat thing. And in that respect, yeah, you are capitalizing on something there, capitalizing for your safety. You could probably sell it. You could probably sell make your own little rendition of this and sell it and help support the virtual labs. Make it a donation. We'll send you one or something, you know?
Well, you know, like I said, maybe that was the wrong terminology to use, but either way, you know, nature has provided all the energy we could use for all of our lifetimes and then some. You know, it's not about, you know, digging up the ground trying to find fossil fuels or natural gas or whatever. You know, look at the doggone the dams that they use hydroelectrics to produce massive amount of energy. You know, this has been done. This isn't new technology. What the problem is taking it out of the hands of the big wigs and putting it into the hands of the average Joe. And this is why I keep saying that I'm trying to get everyone together on the same page in the same lab to take all these anomalies from all the different free energy devices, put them in conjunction with one another, do the math, do the actual construction, get a real serious, honest to God, free energy device that works, is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, and just start passing this information out as fast as possible. Otherwise, just like Stan Myers, suppressed, you know. And if the Searle generator was to really seriously function, it would be suppressed. Any one of these designs that come out there that somebody either tries to get a patent on, it'll be suppressed. Even if they don't get a patent on, they'll find some way to make it illegal. It's in the interest of national defense, we got to shut you up kind of thing. We're not talking about national defense. We're talking about worldwide defense. We're talking about why in the hell all these people are out there killing each other to begin with. They're killing each other over resources, disputes over land, when we've got all the brilliant minds that it takes to actually put together working devices, tapping into what nature's energy without defying their so-called laws of physics like conservation of energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed, therefore, you know, you can't get more out than you ever put in. Well, I don't care about getting out more than I put in. What I care about is getting enough to run somebody's house without them having to pay a damn bill. You see where I'm coming from?
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, politicians are the prime example of getting more out than they put in.
Well, that's a definite, you know.
All the energy that we expend to pay them massive salaries so they can lie through their teeth to us.
Yeah.
I mean, that is over unity.
Definite. If we could tap into that type of energy, you know, like a politician's mouth's got a lot of torque.
A lot of hot air, run that Stirling engine
Pull
the Stirling engine up.
So I don't want to be.
Governmental offices in every nation. We need to stick a big old sack above them and catch all that hot air.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, we tapped into one of money's biggest rants here, and also have to. Sometimes you just got to trust your gut feeling on a few things, and one of my gut feelings is the more that they pump out of this earth, It's more like a massive mosquito sucking the blood out of you. When there's no more left, is the Earth still going to be alive? You know, the Earth is a living thing, and who says what kind of life form it is and what it uses for blood? I think taking this, all the oil out of the ground really, really hurts the Earth. And that's their goal. And anytime you sit there and say, oh, well, you're going to stop our profits and our massive slave union that we got all together of sucking it out and selling it to support the more sucking it out, You know, stop. We don't need these fossil fuels. Like I say, it does pollute the air.
Well, I'm not.
Gone. They got so many doggone plants out there sitting there, refineries and stuff, and the stuff they stick in the air, there's a high cancer rate and birth deformity. You know, we don't need this stuff. We need something that's not going to deform us and tear ourselves up. We need the free energy. You're looking at the Testatica device. Now, that, okay. Well, they say it's not a free energy, but you know what? It runs itself, and it powers the whole village. It powers the whole village, and you know this is suppressed by them because they don't think the world is ready for it. And I think they're pretty smart, because as soon as you bring it out into the open and the government's got it, then the government's going to use it for another purpose. Every good technology that comes out here, the government finds a way to use it against you.
Well,
and it's not a good thing.
That's
but
why
the thing is, it uses neutrinos. Neutrinos are free. They run through the Earth. They come from the sun. They shoot all the way through the Earth. You get a little less power at night than you do in the daytime, but the thing runs 24/7, and it is free energy.
Well, we are literally floating in a sea of energy. There's nothing around you that doesn't have electrons, protons, neutrons. And so with that said, everything around us, everything is made up of energy. We're made up of energy. And so, you know, there's no reason why we can't put all these devices together. I don't want to end up being one of those guys that people look back through my YouTube channels and say, you know, hey, I think he was on to something, but they never took the initiative to try to build it themselves. And so this is why I think that networks like No Borders and We Roar and Wake Radio and Shaziz Radio and all the other ones, this is why I believe so hard that I get up early in the morning and I do these radio shows every week, because I seriously believe that if we can get people around the world, not just one country, every country, brilliant minds in every single country around the world, together working on problems, we can actually get working devices, and the information will be out there. It'll be public domain, and so nobody will be able to patent it. Nobody will be able to suppress it. It'll already be out there. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, you can't patent an open source. Once you bring it out and a lot of people have worked on it, you can't say one person owns it.
Well, if I was in this to make money, there's a whole lot of different ideas that I come up with that I could keep under my hat. But every time I get an idea or I find some little anomaly or something that I share with people, you know, I could hide that all in the background and never do anything until I get it all patented or common law copyrighted or whatever. But that's not what it's all about to me. What it's all about to me is the whole mad science aspect of it. I'm seeing all this stuff that could be that isn't, because, you know, somebody out there needs to fatten their wallet. Some politician out there wants to, you know, keep the oil companies going or the power companies going. It's in the national defense to go over and bomb somebody else and try to control the flow of oil in whichever nation it is. And the same reason why Tesla wanted to give everybody wireless energy is the same reason why guys like me and you and everybody and his brother keep working on alternative energy. Now, granted, there are some jerks out there that try to put out little bogus videos, and even if it's put out as a joke where there's a battery hidden in a motor or something like that, that pisses me off, because it really seriously hinders. We should be a hell of a lot further along as far as technologically advanced than what we are. I mean, we got, look at the cell phones that you got access to, iPods, iPads, all these different high-tech video games and all that kind of crap. You know, all they are is distractions compared to what we could be doing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a fact. Shoot, man, I look at all this stuff. I think the virtual labs is a great thing. It puts it all into open source, and just like a dual permanent magnet rotor axial flux wind turbine, that is open source, and anybody that builds one can build it and put it out there and sell it. If man wants to go to work, he can, and he can manage his own business. I think the patents on thing keep people from being able to develop and work and do things on their own, because they got to pay somebody in order to do it.
Exactly, and that turbine works. You've proven that it works. You've got actual footage.
I think that the virtual labs is another way to just blow the whole lid right off of everything. Let's take this old technology that nobody owns and put it in the hands of the people.
Plus, it weeds out the monkey business. You know, there's no hiding the batteries.
No,
and that's what,
the water battery.
Yeah, and so, you know, if we take all these things that we've talked about, and we take things that we've learned, and all the little deals that we know about basic science, there's nothing that we couldn't solve. I mean, we could take and combine all these things together and create a real, honest, free energy device. Now, when I say free energy device, I'm not saying it ain't going to cost you for the parts. And there's another, you know, way that people could actually earn a living. You know, you could have a full-fledged business building your wind turbines, because it's proven technology. I mean, you could stop right there and just say, hey, look, you know, here, when the upgrade gets here, I'll build you one of those. You know, this is what it costs to build, and so on and so forth. And so you could actually earn a living building those, because people want them, you know. But
yeah,
if we
Shaziz,
yeah,
but one of the things that a lot of people are struggling with the current financial crisis, which isn't a recession, it's a bloody robbery. Let's look at it. It's a complete and utter transfer of public wealth, into private hands. And you know, we need to knock this on the head, because it's holding society back. The greed and excess of a few really ruining the lives of the majority.
Well, I agree with you, Steve, and, you know, I hate to say it. I really do. I really hate to say what I'm fixing to say, but to some extent, I almost wished it would collapse, because then everyone would have to be forced to look into these technologies. You know, right now, everybody's sitting on the couch, and they're comfortable, they got their electricity on, everything's all good, you know, they can get on the cell phone, they can get on the internet, they can talk to everybody, everything's going, hunky-dory. None of them's preparing, except for, you know, maybe a few who get called tinfoil hat wearing paranoid schizophrenic whatever, or preppers, whatever you want to call them, doomsday preppers. But the majority of the population out there are not looking into these deals like this, because, you know, why do I need to build me a garden? I got the store up the street. Or why do I need free energy? Because the power company, you know, I'm comfortable. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, yeah. But I do actually have a little clip from Congressman Bongwater's deliverance tour.
Well, Congressman Bongwater, at least he's honest. He tells you he's going to screw you.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to dress up in a good four-piece suit with pinstripes and a nice hat with a feather on it, and put on all my gold-plated rings that look like they're real with much diamonds, and I'm going to go out there and put a sign out in front of me that says, I'm rich, but I could use your money, but at least I'm honest.
Yeah, there you go.
And see how much I get.
I bet you get paid.
Oh, I bet I make more than them other guys.
But, you know, the whole thing is, I'm loving what we've done for the last, several years, what we've been broadcasting.
Yeah, that didn't work.
But, I want to see more out of this year. I want to see people actually building projects. I want to see, like, videos, you know, either going out there debunking what somebody else said, or coming out there and showing, look, hey, I built your deal and it didn't work right for me. Could you help me out? You know, working back and forth with one another and troubleshooting it, getting these deals out there actually built, you know. I want to see the average Joe. I want to see the ladies out there building alternative energy devices.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to bring something up here. I've dropped back from doing just so many unscheduled shows, and then doing a full night where I start off at 12 o'clock and bring it all the way to your show on, you know, or bringing it all the way to the morning and then starting early and doing. I'm going to have to drop back to one show a week for a little while and then go on. So this is my apology in a way, but to let you know what's going on. My hands have been tied for a long time, and now that they're untied, I need to go back into the development of making these mighty mini wind turbines with the dual permanent magnet rotor axial flux wind turbine, trying to give people what they pay for, and instead of like a company that's kicking out, a 1.6 kilowatt wind turbine, but when you find out what kind of wind they put it in, you're talking about a 36-mile-an-hour wind. You don't get 36-mile-an-hour winds very many days out of the year, probably not each month, but when you do get them, they don't last but maybe 15 minutes before the storm front comes through, or the cold front comes through, and then the winds die down. So you're not going to get that all the time. What you need is something that kicks out that wattage in the low winds, and the stuff you get from the corporate that you're paying 1.6 kilowatts. You're trying to buy a 1.6 kilowatt wind turbine. You're only getting 20 watts out of a doggone normal wind, and you know that's unacceptable. The corporations have been ripping people off for too long, and that's my idea.
Well, what if
I'm trying to bring this forward to everybody. I'm going back into that, and I'm going to spend my time at that and try to get this out there for the people that want to spend money and actually get something out of it.
What if you took...
I have a question then, Muddy, about the wind turbines, because that really is your field of speciality.
Yes, sir.
What is the maximum usable wind speed?
Basically, I try to... I want these things to furl out at about 25 miles per hour. If it needs to go out a little bit farther, all I got to do is adjust the length and the weight of the tail, you know, if I think it can handle more. I want them to get the maximum out of the wind. But I'm thinking down in the 9 and 10 mile an hour winds, I want to see at least 50 watts, you know. How many times you got a 25 watt light bulb in your living room and you can't see nothing? 50 watts will do quite a bit. So 50 watts is reasonable for your lower normal winds. In them days when you're going to get about 15 miles an hour out of air, hey, you know, the when the wind speed goes up, your power factor goes up by a factor of 8. Yeah, well, let's that's the aim and goal. If I see 200 watts in it, I'll be kind of happy. But it's the efficiency of it. Your regular commercial stuff is only 45% efficient, and if your prop when you double the size of the prop, your power factor goes up by a factor of 4. If I've got to raise the diameter of the prop with the same hardware, well, you know, I'm going to get my power out of it. That just means I got to redesign my stator.
Well, let me ask you a question.
The first revision one basically started up too early, which means my 5-foot prop is not made for it. It's made for something that can handle less power. So what I have to do is I have to go to another prop that's bigger, which is going to turn slower, and therefore it's not going to stall out when the wind blows and tries to create more power because it's already drawing amps and putting mechanical pressure, back pressure. So getting the thing tuned out, I'm kind of happy that it did raise too much voltage. I put too many windings on it. So that means I get to go to a 62-inch blade. Which dramatically increases the amount of power. So I'll probably have to have it furl out in about 25 miles an hour winds, but that also means in the lower winds you're going to be getting a lot more power, and that's more bang for the buck. And I'm kind of celebrating that, but getting back into this and doing the research and development, getting this thing ready for production.
Muddy.
I'm dancing. I'm dancing to the results and loving it.
I'd like to see you try something, man. You know what a merry-go-round is, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, what about taking those sails like you got on the surfboards, the surfboards that they have with sails, and building a merry-go-round with several of them sails around there that would catch even the least amount of wind?
Yeah, and take it from any direction, too. Being that you're talking like that's a vertical axis wind turbine in a way. The other thing would be give your kids lots of sugar in their cereal and have them push that stupid thing around and gear it up. That's real energy. I mean, they'll never stop, you know. I think that's great. Kid power, Bubba. That's free energy.
Well, I just, like I said, man, there's a lot of technology out there that works. I hope that 2014 ends up being the year where we actually see some working devices that people can replicate with, you know, off-the-shelf kind of stuff. And so, yeah.
With the advent of 3D printers, off-the-shelf has no meaning anymore.
Well, that's why we need to get somebody, whoever's got a 3D printer on board here to, you know, start making parts for researchers, you know. Because there's a lot of things that I could use that if I could actually have it made or milled or whatever would be, you know, spectacular as far as saving time-wise. And I wouldn't have to be working on junk. I could actually get something that could function right out of the gate. You know, I know that my theories are right because of what I was talking about earlier with the being able to wirelessly create plasma in another container opposite from, you know, where the initial power source is. So I know that, you know, I'm on the right track. But to get my plasma reactor to do what it is that I know it can do, first I got to get it built properly. I mean, you know, I've tried it with junk, and it's just there's some things you just can't do without the proper milling.
Well, such as sealing a proper vacuum in the plasma device.
Exactly, and that's where my biggest problem is. Not only the safety factor, if you got argon leaking out of the doggone deal and you got high voltage running to it, you're liable to get hit in the face with a lightning bolt, and that's not a good idea. But if you get it all sealed up, everything's working like it's supposed to, you know, you can't do that with junk. I've tried it.
If you can't make a dual permanent magnet rotor axial flux wind generator with junk magnets and junk this and junk that, but you can do a lot of the you can do all the bearings and all that stuff just off of parts of cars. Junk cars, there's a lot of junk that you can use, the tail fin. You can use a 2x4 to carve your prop out with just a couple hours worth of, you know, stuff there, you know, or just go ahead and buy a new one. That's only $2.76, and that's my aim.
Well,
to make it cheap. If somebody wants to copy what I do out here, I don't care. More power to them. Just go ahead.
In a worst case scenario, you can use junk to produce energy and charge up batteries. So
if you need your cell phone charged up, I think, and there's something, an experiment I really want to try, but I'm pretty sure it's going to work. Use that Lord Kelvin's generator. So what? It rains, it fills up your gutter, fill up a container that sits up high, and have that sucker just drip, 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 drip.
Yeah, but
and it within 10 seconds, man, it's got an arc that kicks over about 25,000 volts on over an inch. So if you could take some of that and put it through a couple meg resistors and run it through a diode, let it charge up a capacitor, well, that capacitor is going to keep building up and building up. But before it gets to a higher voltage, just go ahead and have it charge up your cell phone. I'm sure it's going to be coming.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, man. I'm not disputing
magnets. You don't need.
I'm not disputing none of that.
A little bit of wire and two buckets.
I'm not disputing on that, Muddy. I'm not disputing none of that, and I'm agreeing that there's a whole lot of different ways, but let's be real here. What the world is looking for is something that's going to run their house, and I think that we have the technology, we have the knowledge, we have the tools and the resources to do it. I think it's time to do it, and that's what I'm hoping out of Virtual Labs, you know, in 2014, is that we finally get something on the table. You know, I can tell everybody out there, look, you know, I'm trying to build this plasma reactor, and this is my theories on how it functions, and if they believe in it enough to help me, you know, build some parts or, you know, send me something that I can use to seal this thing up or whatever, vice versa. I got things in my lab. I got tons of stuff in my lab that somebody out there probably needs. And so with Virtual Labs, I can show them, hey, if you need this part, I'll ship it over to you. You see what I'm talking about? putting everybody together to make this happen, because I'm, like I said, 2014 has to be the put up or shut up year. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in the search for free energy. I want to get it done.
Find it.
Yeah. And I know where it's at. It's all around us. You know, but the problem to get something that's going to run somebody's house, we got to be serious with one another. We got to really seriously want to and do this. You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, a lot of these people that have made free energy devices and stuff. But let's look at Ed Leed Scanlon.
Well, don't go too deep in it because we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show.
Well, anyway, he had three little books, and the covers of them were different. But if you took and superimposed all three images over each other, you'll find out that you're looking at the full circuit to his free energy device. Uh-huh. It's been out there in front of our eyes for the longest time.
It's been out there since the 1800s, probably even further back than that, probably all the way, like you said, the Egyptians. I mean, it's ironic that it looks like an incandescent light bulb on the wall, and they found things that they call Baghdad batteries, and you also notice that there is no soot going up there where they would have had to burn torches, and even burning torches would have sucked the oxygen out of the air, and so they would have been running out of the deal every so often to gasp for air because they wouldn't have no oxygen.
Yeah, there was no soot down the bottom, and you're exactly right. It was Egyptian technology, or technology brought down from... the lizard heads. The whole thing is his free energy device. It was around for a long, long time, and basically Ed Leeds Scanlon actually made a statement with the symbols that he put at the top of his arch, saying that he knew the secrets of the pyramids.
Listen, yes, sir. I don't know about the lizard heads until I see a lizard head. But what I do know is that in the 1800s, they had a freaking early 1900s, at the very least, they had a plasma reactor called the Mercury Arc Rectifier, and that's some high technology back then that is nobody knew about. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Anyway, we're down to the last couple minutes of the show, so I'm probably going to run over, and Beverly's Hope show is going to be a repeat broadcast of last week's show, so I hope everybody stays tuned who didn't get a chance to hear that. But You guys, you think we're on the right track here with Virtual Labs?
I think you're on the right track for sure. But, you know, I've done a lot of blah, blah, blah all through this. And
Well, hey.
Steve had the last of it. I'm done. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, Ellen. Good things.
Steve?
For the best wishes in the world, you need a better man than me to build Virtual Labs, because my head isn't into it.
Well, we've already got it up and running, man. We just got to work out a few bugs to make it user-friendly, and so we'll get that up and running pretty soon. But in the meantime, Muddy, you know, your work is just as valuable as everybody else out there, and same with you, Steve. I mean, we've talked about this for a long time, and we've actually put solutions on the table. You know, the solutions have been there. They've been there all along. I'm hoping that 2014 is the year of enacting these solutions and actually getting these working devices together. I mean, somewhere out there are parts that are needed for some of my projects, and I've got parts for some of your projects, and together with Virtual Labs and all these networks, I believe that this is the year that we'll actually put up or shut up. So with that said, you know, thanks guys for being on the show, and I'm going to burn up out of here with a tune. And so,
well, let them know how to get into that Virtual Lab so everybody can join in. You'll have more minds working at once there, Bob. Don't
when we're all ready, it'll basically be going through Google Hangouts, and there'll be links on the
You will be, mate.
Yeah, there'll be links on. I know how you feel about it, brother. There'll be links on Shazoo's Radio in the Virtual Lab section. And so, yeah, we're having to use the man's technology out there. Of course, we're using the man's technology right now. We're going through Skype, and we know people are spying on us. We know people are hacking into our computers, and we know they're disrupting us because they don't like what it is that we got to say.
And we're winning.
So with that said, we'll just keep on saying it as long as we can, and if they shut the internet down, we'll fire up something else, and we'll send it over via smoke signal if we have to, but it's going to be we the people that fix this mess. It isn't going to be any representation around in any government in any form or fashion, because their track record has pretty much spoke for itself. So with that said, thanks for listening to Shazoo's Mad Science. Peace and love, everybody.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run, those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can